Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the government might start monitoring veterans' social media to see how happy and healthy they are in an effort to lower the amount of claims at the VA. Meanwhile, the wars wage on. Round number two, a Colorado veteran was sentenced to pay $1.3 million in restitution to the VA for pretending to be blind since 1969. Nice. 30 years. Or no, that's more. Jesus, that's 40 years.
40.
40 years of blind goofing at the VA. Love it. Round number three.
It's almost 50 years.
Huh?
It's almost 50 years.
It's a lot of years.
It's a lot of years.
No, it is 50. Shit.
50 years.
2 block 30. Bad at math.
Right. Jeez. Round number three. A 94-year-old blind World War II veteran would just try downhill skiing for the first time. He hopped in a sled designed for blind folks and had the mountain wind whipping in his face. He looked absolutely thrilled while he was going down the mountain. What a beautiful picture that was. You're going to love seeing that on the pod. Round number four, bad news, Mutter T. Robots might be taking your job as the Army gets its first driverless vehicles. And round number five, Game of Thrones talk. It's time that Sansa gets a meritorious promotion, Z Sergeant Major material, if I've ever seen it. And all of that is going to be brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. I promised last week that I would do it. Here we go.
Alarm. The willies. The heebie-jeebies. Panic. There are dozens of words for fear, but just one for an exceptional home security company to stop fear at your front door. Simply Safe is home security that knows how it fears to fear less. This is an award-winning 24/7 protection that protects your home through it all. Through blizzards, blackouts, burglars, Simply Safe has won awards from all the tech experts that count. The Verge calls it the best home security. It's two-time winner of CNET Editor's Awards and the Wirecutter's top pick. Simply Safe has no contracts, no hidden fees, and no gotchas. And they always keep prices fair and honest. Try Simply Safe with free shipping and free returns. You'll get 60-day risk-free trial, too. Order now and you'll have your home protected within 1 week. Go to simplysafe.com/ZBT to get started today. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. Be sure to go there so they know that we sent you. simplysafe.com/ZBT.
Taps. I've seen a few folks do FDR in movies, and that was pretty close.
Just watching Tiger go down and being like, man, this guy was a lieutenant colonel's kid at some point. It made me happy for all the military brats out there that you too can be a 15-time major winner.
That's it. You just got to have make sure your parents are in the Army. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I saw that post on Zero Block 30's Instagram, I had no idea. I did not know he was an Army brat.
Yeah.
Big well, I think his father was pretty much done with the military. Yeah, his father was a Green Beret. Did you know that?
Very decorated too.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
He saw some shit in Vietnam.
Whoa. Yeah.
I mean, that's very a whole other story.
His men too, like his men would always say that he always had them prepared, and it made like whenever he had fellow soldiers that were Earl Woods's like that worked with Earl Woods, they would talk about how meticulous he was with Tiger, and it made sense because that's how he was with his men too, like that very by the book. You're gonna do this over and over and over till you get it right. And Tiger talked about how he hated it, but then that's how he became so good because he was drilled over and over and over again by Lieutenant Colonel Dat.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's like that's one of the explanations as to why Tiger was very much into the Call of Duty type video games and why he would go and try to train with the SEALs, because he was just trying to emulate his dad as best that he could without actually
Did you know that?
He actually,
Tiger Woods was like a vet, bro. Like on
what?
Like that he would do like training, like Navy SEAL training, because he was so into Call of Duty and so into that culture. A lot of his best friends are like SEALs and shit.
What?
Yes. Yeah. I swear to God, we're not trolling you. We're not trolling you.
At one point, he drove a patriotic rant in his truck. I won't believe it.
True.
At one point in his career, he considered giving up golf and joining the military. That's no BS.
Well, boy, would he have been pissed if that had happened.
Goodness gracious. Well, if he was, then we can go into round one. If he was, he would get monitored by the VA. That's what the Trump administration would like to do with a new policy. This comes from Forbes. They say a new policy proposed by the Trump administration calls for surveillance of disabled people's social media profiles to determine the necessity of their disability benefits. The proposal, which reportedly aims to cut down on the number of fraudulent disability claims, would monitor the profiles of disabled people and flag contents that shows them doing physical activities. The administration has been working closely with Social Security Administration in effort to reduce false claims, believing that social media holds a cachet of information regarding the eligibility of Social Security disability. They believe that by monitoring the social media accounts of disability recipients, they can root out false claims and reduce overall amount of money spent on these programs. If they're doing this with the VA, it's so fucked up, man.
So fucked up.
Yeah. But you know what? We don't age shame here, but this smells of a lot of people who are up there in years who think this is a good idea, who think like, oh, we can just watch people's social media and get a good idea of what's going on in their life. That is the biggest crock, because for the most part, by and large, I think certain people are better about being very forthright on their social media, but a lot of people are very, very fake on their social media. So I wouldn't say a lot of people.
I'd say all people.
Yeah, most people.
Everyone paints a rosier picture than what reality is and makes life look so much better than it is.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, what a slap in the face to put money towards something like this, if that's going to be the case, when between October 2017 and November 2018, 19 veterans died by suicide on the grounds of the VA medical facilities.
Yeah, that, I mean, this
in 1 year, and you want to focus on this? Like,
these stories that are coming out in like Georgia, whenever a guy goes into the waiting room and kills himself, like pulls a gun on himself and kills himself in the middle of the VA, those types of things are happening all the time. But I mean, even more so than that, like to act like how you portray yourself on social media is who you are.
Yeah.
Who is going to be seeing themselves struggle, like, hey, guys, just forgot my appointments again.
Guys,
my traumatic brain injury makes it difficult for me to pay my bills. Sent to collectors again. Suck it, haters. Like, nobody does that.
Nobody's going to talk about all their suicidal thoughts and how depressed they are via social media. And it's just, it's so funny too, because you see like a couple get divorced and everyone's like, oh, I don't know. They look so happy. Like, oh, really? Like, oh, they were going to post the time, you know, that Bobby was stepping out on Susie and cheating on him with his secretary. He's going to put that all over social media? Of course not. So that's just – this just shows me that they got people – I've
been watching Mad Men again.
No, but I mean, this just shows me, like, you got people that are making these calls that just have no idea what is actually going on with social media. Just very uninformed. If you think you can gain any sort of perspective into someone's life, true perspective, by looking at their social media.
Yeah, the whole thing just is a slap in the face to me if they spend any money on this at all. Yeah.
The perspective that people have is just such a snippet of everything. Like, I remember my wife gets so pissed if I put a picture of me, like, taking my kids out to ice cream or something like that. And it's like a picture of me and McCartney or me and Kelsey eating ice cream. And inevitably, you'll have people be like, oh, Chaps is such a great dad. Like, you dad goals. Like, it's ice cream, dude. Like, we're out to get ice cream. That shouldn't be the barometer of success. Just like if I post a picture of myself out at a park, like, oh, look at this motherfucker. He's out at a park. He thinks he doesn't. Depression, huh? Depression's a big issue for you?
Yeah. Now,
I see you smiling in this picture, you bitch.
Right.
Defrauding the government. It's just a snippet of what's going on in your life. It's just ridiculous to assume that.
And again, it might be beneficial for me if they do that, because I spent last night clapping back at egg avatars on Twitter. So maybe they're like, yeah, this bitch is crazy.
Did you? You have been doing so good.
I know. But maybe that then they'd see it and they'd be like, we need to up her rating. She's going to be through the roof, this one. Total nutball.
This one's got issues. So,
Chaps, do you – this is hard for me to say. Do you get in trouble for your social media sometimes? Because sometimes I will get a screenshot – of a tweet or a picture will be up on Instagram and I get yelled at and told to take it down or made fun of.
No, I'm a grown man. That doesn't happen to me.
Actually, my mom and I,
I hope to get there one day.
My dad just posted a picture of my mom and I. We were going to a baby shower and we looked super cute, but he, like, I feel like dads just take the worst pictures. And it was like, my mom and I look like gargoyles. He posted on his Instagram, and right away, my mom like texted him. She's like, "Take that picture down right now." So yeah,
In reality, yes, of course I do. I get off that shit. I mean, yesterday I posted a picture of Tiger Woods celebrating, and I said, "When my wife says make it," and she was like, "Do you really have to put shit on there?" I'm like, "It's just content, babe. Like that's all it is. That's just a little bit of content." She got pissed for a while whenever I put like the emojis.
The sunglass
like,
emojis?
Sunglasses emojis. She's like, stop doing that.
Oh, gotta love it. Gotta love it. Yeah, so bottom line is,
on the rundown that we had had sex 1,150 times, she called me that night and she was like, why?
Oh, yeah.
What? Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, if anyone from the VA is listening, please take this to your superiors and have them listen to this episode. This is the stupidest freaking idea ever, and there could be so many better places to spend our money.
Yeah. I can't imagine there's that big group of people out there who are actually doing that. All right, let's move on to round two. Round number two, a Colorado man has been sentenced to a year in prison for defrauding the Department of Veterans Affairs out of nearly $1.3 million by pretending to be blind. Mike Blee of North Glen was sentenced Wednesday in order to pay the VA $1.27 million in restitution. Investigators say that Blee is a Vietnam veteran who started getting VA disability payments in 1969 for visual impairment. He did have a minor problem in his eyesight, but he started to exaggerate how bad it was. The U.S. attorney said, "Justice may be blind, but Mr. Blee isn't." What a fucking closing line from the U.S. attorney there.
Yeah.
So embarrassing, man. So embarrassing.
Mm.
Wow.
I mean, it's certainly, I'm just kind of maybe a little surprised, though, because there are certain things that you could certainly fudge and the VA would have a hard time calling you out on it. But being blind, I feel like you can test someone's vision.
Tell that to Stevie Wonder.
I mean, do you think they were monitoring social media and were like, "Hey, Mr. Blee's on a jet ski"? What? Like, how do you think they figured out that Mr. Blee can see?
50 years of acting like you're blind. I mean, honestly, if you spent 50 years acting like you're blind, you are essentially blind. Like, if
more or less,
acting like you can't see for that long. You really can't see. And I could see how you get into a slippery slope like that. Like with my ankle, I basically use my ankle as an excuse for everything. Like for all intents and purposes, for yard work around my house, for cleaning up stuff, for lifting anything heavy in and out of my garage, my ankle is essentially shattered. It hurts a little bit from time to time, but I have everyone in my household believing that I basically need an ankle replacement.
Yeah.
Mr. Blue, you've gone wrong.
My stomach problems have been causing me to fart really bad, as you guys know. So
that's just
true. Sorry about it.
No, you both, like, you're underplaying both of these issues, I think. Chaps, I've seen your ankles in action. I've seen them snapping on that wheel vehicle, whatever that thing was when we were in Dallas. You're like twigs. You're like on osteoporosis twigs.
True.
And cons, I've smelled your farts. My God. I mean, you're both falling apart. There's no doubt about it. Neither of you are exaggerating.
Let's not operate on the assumption that you're the picture of health. I mean, last week you had a broken nose. You've had a broken nose, broken ribs, broken arms since you've been on the podcast in a year.
Wow, that's a good point. That is a really good point. Meanwhile, Chaps and I haven't broken anything, knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, suck it, Kate.
You know what? back to this blind guy. Enough about me. I just, for 50 years, I want to know if this guy was married. Like, and what did he like shuffle in with the stick, with like the seeing eye stick? Or did he have a dog? Like, how did he pull this off for 50 years? And how did doctors never reassess him and be like, actually, he's not blind? Like, how did it go for 50 years?
What I imagine happened is that he gets wheeled into the VA. He has those big old black glasses on that cover like three quarters of his face.
Oh, yeah. My dad has those.
The only thing that he's done to prepare to be blind is watch Bone Thugs and Harmony's Crossroads video over and over again.
Wow. So
every time he picks it up, every time he picks up his glasses, it's like, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. And Uncle Charles' eyes, he just like goes kind of cross-eyed whenever he lifts them up. And they're like, damn, he is blind. And he's like, yeah. Show me the money, bitch. Show
Honestly,
me the money.
I believe it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a tough thing to do, pretend to be blind for 50 years. So you almost have to give him some credit for pulling this off for 50 years.
I'll never give him any credit. That's a promise. No credit.
Not to sidetrack, but I'm about to. I watched this documentary this weekend about this. Have you ever heard of Munchausen by Proxy?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think I know which documentary you're talking about. Keep going.
Called The Act or whatever. But this mom had her daughter pretend that she couldn't walk for 25 years.
Yeah.
25 years in a wheelchair. And then at night, the girl would hop up and be like dancing around the house and stretching her legs and shit. Like, what the fuck? For like, and they did it for like a free house, free trips to Disney, whatever. But it just, stuff like this is amazing to me, how far people will go. When really you're actually like,
what do you think you could pretend to have?
Oh, I think I could pretend to have, I guess spaghetti, like I got spaghetti arms. They'll snap if I lift anything like that, like something like that. Cause I do.
You got trick elbows?
I used to do a really good impersonation of my grandfather who had polio walk around, and I would act like I had polio leg, where it just basically had no nerve endings in it, where I couldn't walk. And I used to think it was hilarious. Now, looking back, I'm like, that was really offensive. I used to do it in like Target and shit. Like, I'd just be cruising through Target acting like I had a dead leg. And now I have friends who have actual like blown their leg off and they're using like a prosthetic. And I'm like, that probably wasn't the best.
It wasn't extremely thoughtful. Good call there, being 2020. But you know what's always so funny to me too, when they order these people to pay the money back? You think Mr. Blythe was it? I'm sorry, Mr. Blee. Excuse me. He just has that $1.3 million just sitting around? Probably not. So I just think it's funny when they say like, oh, they've ordered to pay him back $1.3 million. He doesn't have $1.3 million.
Yeah, he's not getting that back. And he's like, he's got to be 7 years old. So 70 years old, what are you in for, old timer? Pretending I was blind. And then imagine if he is having trouble with his eyes because he's getting old. While he's in prison, he's got to come back and like, what's wrong? I'm having trouble with my eyes. Okay, Blee.
Okay. Yeah, okay, asshole. Right, yeah, okay.
Get back on the yard, Blee.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
We all live on energy drinks, and the guys from Ruck Pack just sent us these Ruck Pack energy shots, and they're great. It's less liquid than a giant can, so you don't feel bloated, and it tastes great. The background on these dudes is that they were in MARSOC, and while on deployment, decided everything they were drinking, and we know what they were drinking, was garbage and really not helping in the long run. So these guys developed a 3-ounce shot that is healthy, and added in nootropics so that when you have energy, your brain knows what the fuck to do with it now. Check out RuckPack.com and at RuckPack on Instagram and Twitter. And when you use the code ZERO at checkout, not only will you save 10% on any purchase, but RuckPack will donate 5% of profits to charity like the Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation or Team Some Assembly Required, which is another badass group that you should check out. So check out RuckPack.com, use code ZERO at checkout, and help yourself, help a veteran-owned company, and help them give back to other veterans. That's RuckPack.com.
All right, round number three, we go from a faux blind to a true blind man. A 94-year-old World War II veteran who is actually legally blind is not one to back away from a challenge. Warren Hayer, a Navy veteran from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, recently went downhill skiing at a special winter sports clinic in Colorado. I'm the type of guy who's inquisitive about everything, Heyer said. Heyer was among about 400 veterans with disabilities who participated in the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic on April 2nd. Heyer, who is fully blind in his right eye and has poor vision in his left, said cruising down Snowmass Mountain in a guided sled-type vehicle was, quote, a little scary but a lot of fun, end quote. He said he loved the adrenaline and the wind in his face while being guided down the mountain, as well as being able to do something that all of the young people do. What a great little story to hear.
I
about
love that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. The Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic began in 1987, and they had like 90 participants. Now they're up to over 400. And these veterans are, they say on the website, profoundly disabled. They have really serious brain injuries, or they're missing limbs, or they're, and this gives them a chance to get back out. And especially, I feel like if you have injuries like that, you probably look at winter sports and things you used to love and go, well, I can never do that again. Mm-hmm. And to be shown that you can adapt the way you do it and do it again, it is probably a very powerful, very cool thing.
I mean, even if he wasn't blind, the fact that he's 94 years old and skiing,
that seems pretty dangerous. I mean, that was like when HW used to do jumps.
Yes.
Like he celebrated 95th birthday by doing a jump from a plane. Seems like your bones would snap. Mine would.
Right.
I mean, now my
oh, yeah.
My God.
I get nervous when my mom like speed walks too fast to get the mail. I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. She's like 60 something years old. I'm like, yeah, take it easy, old fussy britches.
But at 95, what are you really looking forward to at that point in your life? You've lived a full life. You're a World War II veteran. Everybody respects you. You're blind. Like, I've always thought, since the time I was like 11, that if I ever got to like 95 years old, probably 100 years old, I would like to go skydiving too. But I want to go skydiving right before like the Super Bowl happens, like above the Super Bowl arena, and then just not pull my chute whenever I just absolutely smash myself into like the 50-yard line of the Super Bowl and know that I like interrupted everything right there on the seal of the NFL. Just absolutely obliterate myself right in the middle of the field from skydiving.
Be the center of attention for your
family. I was going to say, that's one way to get remembered forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't soon be forgotten.
I mean, heroes get remembered. Legends never die. That'd be a legendary move, Chaps.
True.
But not to mention, too, this guy is doing skiing. Skiing is a physically taxing activity, sport.
Oh, my God. So I've never tried skiing. And especially like if you pizza when you're supposed to French fry, I've never tried skiing. I've went snowboarding one time. I woke up the next day and felt like I got hit by a fucking car. Like every muscle in your body gets worked when you do shit like that. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 94.
My and especially God. Snowboarding with your core, because you got to, you know, sit down and stand up so much. It's very, very taxing.
It's the worst time I've ever had in my life, honestly. Everybody loves it. Snowboarding to me is fucking terrible.
Like, oh, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's a freaking blast. It's a freaking blast.
Of course you like it, but I think it's terrible. I'll never go again. When I got back from Iraq, I went in Boone, North Carolina. I think it was Boone. And, dude, it was just constantly up and down. It's all this work for a fucking couple minutes of going down the hill.
Well, when you don't suck at it, it's a lot of fun. So as long as you're not falling all the time like that, it's a lot more fun.
Nobody said I was falling all the time. It's just not fun.
Again, we're going to circle this back to your ankles, and I'm going to say you probably fell a lot.
Probably. I mean, I probably fell a lot. But either way, even standing up, like I don't – the only thing that I like where you fall really hard is tubing. I will tube all day.
Oh, me too, buddy. I think you and I are the most avid tubers at Barstool Sports, I'm going to say.
Think so?
I think that's my wheelhouse, both on water and on mountainsides. Put me in a tube.
I don't really like any winter sports like that.
Jeff, but you realize like the objective of snowboarding is not to fall.
No, Cons. I didn't realize that. Thanks.
I mean, you're talking about it sucks because you're falling all the time. You keep talking about falling. You're not supposed to fall. Like when I snowboard, I get down the mountain. I don't fall.
Cool.
Humble brag. Sheesh. What a showboater. Awesome. Way to steal this story about a fantastic little 94-year-old World War II veteran and just make it about you being good at snowboarding.
I mean, anything to make it about me. Come on.
And I like how we also skipped over the fact like it was really endurance sport for this dude. He's sitting in a chair, like going down the mountain. It's not like he's activating his core. He's blind in a chair that says blind skier, like in a big orange sticker that goes across his chest. It's not like he's doing DDP yoga or
He's not doing moguls here.
Yeah. I do love the thought of the wind whipping in his face and going down the mountain in the sunshine, though. I love that. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, because that's probably something he hasn't experienced in a very long time. So good for him.
Yeah.
He earned it.
Yeah, that and sex. All right, let's move on.
All right, guys, move aside, Motor T. You are getting fucking outsourced. Coming from the Observer, the Army just announced that we will be seeing driverless combat trucks deployed to help soldiers avoid accidental casualties caused by driving. The test run occurred at Fort Bliss, where 10 of these trucks went through unmanned driving trials, with 60 more test trucks due to arrive this year. And the Pentagon has already allocated another $3.7 billion with a B for research that will cover these unmanned and autonomous technologies. And a lot of people are saying the odds are very high that in the military and on bases and overseas, there will be unmanned vehicles well before civilians see them. They think that won't really be a thing for us in the civilian world for probably decades past this. So Uber's chief scientist predicted that depending on infrastructure factors and stuff like that, they'll be on bases way sooner. So I just think this will be huge for designated driving on post. I mean, you never have to find another Arrive Alive card again.
Yeah, I think that there could be a lot of benefits going for it. Like, I imagine the combat, like, if, because think about how many times you had to send transport to like a remote fob, like with food on it or things mm-hmm. like that, whenever you're dealing with IEDs. The only issue is that they're so secretive about this technology that if something goes wrong and a tire goes out, there's not going to be anybody to blow it up in place. I would imagine that they have like a, there's probably something inside that would have to be laced with explosives so it could blow it up itself up in place. Cause you know, you have to do that shit.
You're probably right. Anytime we have something like that in our military that has heightened technology like that, it's usually a manual process that we blow it up. But yeah, I would imagine, Chaps, if there's no one there to blow it up, you get to do it some other way. And I like it, Chaps, for the example you gave for transporting supplies or food, things of that nature. I don't think I would like this if it were myself in combat, because I feel like these vehicles will be designed to drive the exact right speed limits and they will not be able to react in a combat situation.
It wouldn't be, I don't think that they would ever get to the point where they put people inside it and it's just a robot that drives you. That just doesn't make any sense at all.
But even if you're just like transporting,
I don't know. I guess I'm interested to see. And they admitted in this story, they're like, listen, we're working on this technology. We're moving forward with it, but we don't quite know how the fuck we're going to use it yet. But it reminds me, I read a book recently where they were talking about helicopters in the military and when that first came about. And at first, all these top gurus in the military were like, a flying rotor thing. Like, what? What are we going to do with that that will ever help us in the... And then it, more doctrine developed and they were like, oh shit, these are super fucking useful in a million different ways. So I think, like, who knows how it's going to be
That's
utilized.
That's an all-time bad take. What are we going to use these helicopters for?
Oh, yeah. In these things, General Krulak was the first to be like, let's, like, spy rigging and putting extra guys on there and making them bigger. And the higher-ups were like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it was so not well-received at the time because the technology, I guess, for the time was just kind of like,
that might be up there with the internet isn't going to be a thing that catches on.
Yeah.
You remember seeing that from like Time that goes around every now and then where the dude wrote this big op-ed about the internet and now you can't find a hard copy of his blog, but you can find it anywhere on the internet in 2 seconds. Imagine the internet's not going to work or that the military can't use helicopters.
I can see a lot of people looking at this and going, unmanned vehicles, and they're like, what? But I can absolutely see over time this becoming like a huge fucking thing, especially because the military wants to save on manpower. If they can do that, you know,
we're going to get to the point where just like a completely unmanned military, like where with drone strikes, precision drones, precision vehicles, intelligence, like those tiny little, have you guys seen those Instagrams of the tiny little B-size fucking cameras that they send around places?
And they look like bugs.
Yeah, going all over the place.
Does it scare you guys at all, though, the thought of just being completely unmanned military like this?
No, because I've never read 1984 to completion, so I'm not worried about it.
It does freak me out, specifically because of hacking. I mean, God forbid, like, somebody figures out how to get into our drones and our vehicles and our, like...
Like, turns them around on us.
Yeah. What if Al-Qaeda was a lot more advanced than we ever thought whenever we were there and the camel spiders were actually drones?
Dude.
What if you're... I mean, it could be.
It's crazy.
I love the thought of a disgruntled veteran hacker who... like sees a field op with these vehicles and just makes them do donuts constantly. Like doesn't like somebody who just friendly fucks with it to mess with people. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. But I definitely think for sure we'll be seeing more of these. And I mean, maybe it is just going to be used for arrive alive cards. You're drunk on post. You're at the bowling alley. You need to get back. Hop in one of those suckers. Let the buggy take you home.
All you got to do is slide you got to scan your honor courage commitment card and you're good to go. Yeah.
And you're set. Yep.
All right, let's move to round five. All right, round number five, get a little Game of Thrones talk. I know it's a Tuesday, but I wanted to talk about Game of Thrones a little bit. One, because going back to our VA talk, my memory is so fucking bad that I was like, you know what? I wish that there was like an hour-long recap that HBO would have done about the season that had happened before. I still think they should do that. Like they should.
I agree.
So
Game of Thrones, 2 years, man, 2 years in between episodes.
That's a great point. And actually I made it known. I have never watched Game of Thrones. And I said yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'll just watch this last season. I more or less have an idea of some of the things going on.
Which is surprising to me because you watch everything about everything.
I know. I just Game of Thrones just never struck me as something that I would be into, so I just never watched it. And then just now with the way the internet is, I just feel like I have to watch it, otherwise I'll feel left out. And somebody sent me a link, and it's an hour-long recap, I think, of the entire series to get you caught up. So share that YouTube if you'd like.
Well, the whole thing is 77 hours long. I was talking to Big Cat before it happened, and I did watch season 7, the final episode again. Mm-hmm. And it was like watching it the first time, man. Brain injuries are a bitch. I was so nervous. Like, what's going to happen to Littlefinger? What's going to happen to Sansa? What's going to happen to Arya? And I was nervous the entire time rewatching it, texting my wife, texting Big Cat, like, holy shit, dude. I completely forgot that they had this spoiler alert big time if you haven't watched it. I forgot they had the dead dragon. Then the dead dragon took down the fucking wall. How do you forget that? I had no idea.
Chester, you know what's crazy is you will remember with great detail stories from your time in the military that happened, you know, a decade ago. But then you can't remember that. It's
like shorter term. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how the brain works. But yeah. So what did you guys think of this first episode?
Well, so I watched it in my neighborhood gay bar last night, and they called it Gay, G-A-Y, M-E of Thrones, Game of Thrones. And they had a drag queen named Petty Cakes.
This is the most Kate story. Like, you can't just watch Game of Thrones. You got to do it with drag queens.
But they had a drag queen who was dressed up like Daenerys, who kicked off the show by doing a monologue of Daenerys quotes. And then the curtain ripped open and she started singing, "This girl is on fire." And she had dragon fire that she was like flinging all around. Anyway, and then they stopped the show halfway through to give out shots and make fun of all of us for being too poor for HBO. They're like, "Look at all you dumb poors in here without HBO, honey." You're like, "Hey." So it was really fun. But and to just watching it with this group in this bar, anytime one of the women said something sassy in the show, they're all like, "Get it, girl." Like, everybody was freaking out.
I'm sure that was quite the experience to watch with.
I had like a smile on my face. Everyone was so fucking into it. It was so much fun. And then afterwards, for no reason, she did a dance number to that song, "Let Me Smell Your Dick." I was like, what does this have to do with Game of Thrones? But anyways, she was still dressed as Daenerys. I'm rambling, but I thought it was great. I had a fun time watching it. And every Sunday, she's going to be a different character. So that's like my bar that I'm going to watch it in now every Sunday. So I don't really care so much about the show as I do the ambiance, but that's my ramble.
Your hand movements have decidedly changed as you tell this story, and I wish people could really see and enjoy the hand movements that you're getting, because you're really getting into this.
I just had a real hoot.
Was there any point in the show that gave you a military feel?
Yeah.
Which part?
When they, in the beginning, when they were marching, I was really impressed with how tight their formation was.
Somebody needed to call quick time march in that bitch real quick. I mean, being in step for that long, no thanks. I mean, they definitely have good discipline. I will give them that. The Unsullied have big time discipline with their swords and shit like that. But just call quick time if you're a people mover. That's what we need to be doing.
Also, I think, too, talking, there's a little logistics talk in there for all the supply bubbas.
This is the one I want to talk about. I was so happy. That's why I think Sansa should be promoted. I think she should be meritoriously promoted because Daenerys wasn't thinking about that. She was just thinking about what needed to happen and who needs to bow down to her. She had a very battalion commander type attitude about her. It's like all about what I need to do as long as everybody's kissing the ring and bending the knee. That's all she cared about. Sansa was like, there's a lot more logistics in this. Who's going to feed all these fucking people? Who's going to feed these fucking dragons? Who's going to make the plans of how we're going to go and do all this stuff? It's all going to fall on Sansa. She's going to, her and Jon Snow. Jon Snow was, is, I would like to think that he's probably a sergeant major and Sansa is actually the company gunny.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did notice that, chaps. They were very distraught when they had only 18 goats, I think it was, for the dragons to eat.
Yeah, but the commander had a big-time moment when she said, what do dragons even eat? Whatever they want.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Time move. And it feels like the dragons, when are they going to stop growing? Are they like old man ears, like where they just grow forever? Because they've been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. At some point, you got to think that the dragon stops growing.
Yes.
Maybe they're like crocodiles that way where they don't stop growing.
Are any of you self-proclaimed Game of Thrones experts that you can explain things to me as we go?
I would have thought that I was. Like if you had asked me before I watched the season 7 ending again, I have no idea what's happening. I mean, I remember whenever I see people, but details, I don't know how people do that. Like Ellie Schmidt, how she goes back and forth and can name all these tiny little details.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She would be the one at the office. There's people who are so fun. Like, I'm into it, but, like, I was there for the ambiance. Like,
out of the four of us, I'm probably your best bet.
All right, yeah. Good. All right, I'm going to have a lot of – no, I don't know, maybe not too many, but maybe a few obnoxious questions just because I haven't watched. But I also just like to just, again, just be watching it and be in the mix. It's not
also, I hope – I want to give a special shout-out to our guy, Reek. I hope that Reek has a real turnaround. He started it at the end of season 7 where he beat the shit out of that one dude on the beach, goes for rescues his sister to get headbutted in the face and is down for the count. But they, hopefully he has a redemption story because my fella getting his dick like cut completely off, dick and balls cut off, completely embarrassed in front of everybody. I hope that Reek does big time things. That's what I hope. Redemption story from Reek.
You know what I'm going to do today, though, and I do this basically with any sort of hour-long show, is just read recaps online. Those are very helpful. So really groundbreaking stuff there that I'm doing.
There you go.
That's awesome, Cons. Doing that while snowboarding and not falling.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Safe Rounds and Alibis.
I'm going to send so many snowboarding pictures and videos to you guys in the group chat.
Cool, I'll block you. do we have any Safe Rounds Alibis?
Yeah, I do. Chaps. What the hell are those new shoes you got?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What?
They look like sneaker bottom soles, but then it's like a wicker basket around your foot. Yeah. And then there's a cinch tie that almost looks like 550 cord.
Yeah.
What's going on with those, buddy? Like, did those
like Longaberger high tops? They're terrible.
Did you win those? Did you win those in a raffle?
I purchased those, and because of all the internet hate and to show that I don't give a fuck what any of you think, I ordered another pair in another color the next day. So I'm gonna lean into it. Somebody called them the basket weave 11s.
Yeah,
which I really like. So I got these shoes because I don't like walking on the beach with flip-flops. I think that it makes no sense that the design of flip-flop is flawed from the beginning. So when you walk in sand in flip-flops, it gets a little bit buried, and then it flings sand all the way straight up your asshole. Like, it's all the way up your legs. Shoes don't do that. But you also don't want to wear sneakers on the beach, so I wanted to get these bad boys because I'm going to Hawaii this summer. I needed some solid Hawaii shoes. And these are that. And
yeah, nothing screams Hawaii like those air wicker 11.
Now you're just going to have super sandy shoes. It's like,
no, they're wearing all over the place. You just do a little knockoff.
Right. It's like wearing a spaghetti strainer on the beach. Like, what?
Chaps, can I tell you, Hawaii never really gets above 85, so the sand is not that hot. Just go barefoot, buddy.
I don't want to go barefoot.
Why?
I just don't like it. I don't like to go barefoot.
I mean, country singers write songs about the sand beneath your toes and everything. Like,
also write songs about fucking their dogs. I'm not going to do that either.
I'm just saying you should enjoy the sand on your toes. But that's just me.
Would those shoes, if you showed up to PT in those, would those be out of regs?
I don't think so, because you can't see any actual open toes. I mean, that one sergeant major got pissed off about finger toes. Maybe he would be upset about it, but I don't think so. Probably. I was wearing them around the house. My wife absolutely hates them, and so do my kids. Oh, good.
I was gonna
kidding,
but I don't care.
You've got to be so embarrassed.
I'm 36 years old. I'm a dad. I have terrible tattoos. I am not concerned about what other people think about my clothes.
Oh, chaps, that's very evident just by, you know, your general appearance. So
I think Chaps is a cool dad. I think for the most part, you come across very cool.
You're definitely a cool dad. I've just noticed, Chaps, now knowing you a few years, you really don't care about anybody's opinion, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I don't at all. Like, I wear what I like. Yeah. I like Bren. I think one time when we first started working with Bren, he was like, I never know how you're going to come up and dress. Either you dress like I'm going to go golfing today, or you could dress like you just walked out of a packed sun. Like, you never know which style you're going to have this week.
Hey. I said, it all depends on your mood. Like, if you come up for business, like, you dress like an adult, but if you're coming up for fun, you dress like a kid.
Yeah.
Speaking of clothes though, this weekend, this Friday, right, is the Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah. Right?
And so Chaps and I have a bet. You have, I think you have Shiz at the Rizat.
Yeah, I got Shiz at the Rizat.
And I have, like, Wade Nighty Knight Woodruff, who is an Army veteran. And so they picked people at the office whose fighters are fighting against each other. So Chap's guy is fighting my guy in this fight this Friday that you can get on roughandrowdybrawl.com. But we made a bet that whoever's fighter loses, so, like, say Chap's fighter loses, I get to pick out Chap's outfits for a whole week from Goodwill.
Oh, wow, a whole week.
And if my fighter loses, Chaps gets to pick out what I have to wear for a whole week from Goodwill. And I was sitting the other night, and this thought hit me. I, like, sat up. I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? That you work from home. You don't have to ride the subway.
Well, the agreement, Kate, was the next time I come up to New York, so it would be equal.
Oh, thank God. I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. Chaps doesn't have to go anywhere. I got to be on the subway. And
no, it's then, the next time I come up.
I mean, still have to commute.
But also, I mean, you guys are definitely – you guys – no, but stop. You guys are forgetting. It's New York City. Nobody bats an eye at anything.
I judge the shit out of people every day.
Yeah, Cons, because you'd feel so confident walking around in thrift store clothes. Give me a break. You'd cry if you had to be on the end of that.
I would. I would, absolutely. I would.
Wait. Cons, pick one of our people, and then you also can be roped into the bet. You got to pick.
What are their names again?
Shizat the Rizat.
Rizat and Wade Nighty Night.
Cons not going to do this. He has to go to his big boy job. There's no
way. All right, fine.
I'll take one night out.
You have to come out for drinks with us in an outfit.
All right. I'll do the Nighty Night guy. Who's that?
That's
me. All right. He's a veteran. He's Army.
All right, good. Good. Speaking of Army, my one other save round, shout out to the Army lacrosse team who beat Navy. In an overtime thriller on Saturday for the win. It was great.
Kate, you got anything?
Nope. That's it. That's all I got.
Same. All right. We'll see everybody on our Friday show, Sound the Retreat.